is the best story?
Well, I Vietnam War was going on. I didn't know much about that. I didn't really care, okay? So, I graduated in June or July from, Western Washington University, okay? And I interviewed with the CIA. And so that was in May. Anyway, by October, I had gotten my top secret clearance, okay? Mm-hmm. And the FBI and everybody, the shrinks, 3 days under psychological examinations and so on. If I was ever asked again ever to take a lie detector test, nope, won't do it. Been through that for 3 days. So anyway, I end up joining the CIA. And I entered the Department of Security, which is the most internal, it's the most secret of the secret.
I was going to say secret, yeah.
Yeah, when you are in the Department of Security with the CIA, you've got clearances coming out your rear end, okay? And I will just, in passing, because I'll tell you about the chief of police in Libya later. But they fly me back, and no offense. Anyway, they said, well, how often do you masturbate? When did you start?
This is when they're doing the lie detector test.
Yep, and they had me on the lie detector machine for 3 days. Mm-hmm. And, they
knew how he would react. They knew everything about it.
They picked me apart like you can't believe, okay? Hmm. They wanted to know that I like women and how literally. Anyway, they asked me the most embarrassing questions you could ever be asked. So anyway, then they decided to hire me, okay? And this is in October 1962. And, can't tell you the most embarrassing questions they asked me. Because it would embarrass me to tell you 50 years later.
Wow, okay? Wow, that's pretty bad.
But they wanted to know.
Wow.
Let's move on to what you ended up doing.
Well, anyway. So, I go.
They gave you three offers, right? What were the three offers?
Well, the three options were, one, I could go into the paramilitary, which would be going to the Army Ranger School, and then going into the Monyard. Anyway, as a undercover agent, support military activities against the communists. Okay. The other one they offered me was that I could go into a 3-year training program.
Is this security or sleeper?
No. That I would then go into a undeveloped country with a business and money and support and everything else to start up a business, okay? So then I could, then he says, this is a 10-year plus commitment.
Sleeper.
Because then you've got to fulfill your role, okay? Mm. And the third one was to become a bugger.
Oh, yeah.
I used to bug hospitals. I used to bug all kinds of places, okay? I don't mean that as a dirty word either, okay? So I took that one, right?
So, but you're making it sound like you're. This is the first time I. By the way, I've never heard you say you're a bugger.
A bugger?
Bugger.
Never heard you say this.
Well, anyway.
There's way more. So keep going. So tell. Yeah.
Anyway, I'm going to.
You're not just a bugger when you. You know, you're the guy who bugs the director of the CIA, like his house, his own house.
No, we had the CIA's house bugged. Well, anyway, I'll tell you the one. I'll tell you two stories. Mm-hmm. Oh, one. You got an extra glass? I can have some wine.
I'll get you. You start your story. I'm going to give you something you'll like even more. I'll give you. Okay. Would you like cognac or scotch?
Scotch.
Do you know the difference?
Yeah.
One of them
lights up your ears, and the other one makes you go blind, okay?
Stan, Crystal and Craig got me a really good glass of scotch. I have good cognac. Would you like scotch? No, I'm going to get you the scotch. Do you want it neat or on the rocks?
Neat.
All right.
And don't be a shorthanded.
I'm going to bring it. Well, I'm going to do it. Now, I want you to not drink it in one swath. I want you to
I won't swallow it like a drunken alcoholic, okay?
I want you to realize this is, she got me this. This is really good scotch. I'm going to bring you that. And after you drink it, I'll bring you some more cheaper stuff.
Well, just give me two fingers then.
All right. But keep telling them that. You got to keep telling your story.
Well, I want to tell her about the hooker we fixed the chief of police up with. And anyway, you know, when you're 20, you're pretty much stupid, okay?
Absolutely.
Okay. So anyway,
this is my dad.
I'm waiting.
I got you. I'm coming. Keep telling your story. Okay. Well, I want it. Dad, I've heard the story like 25 times, and I want to hear it again.
But okay? It's always the same.
It is, but what I'm trying to say is I love to hear it. Will you just, okay. But by the way, I met a guy, by the way, you know, I don't know if you know this, last time, 2 years ago Thanksgiving, who's in the CIA. You know what he told me? This is what you're trained to do, is tell three stories. You met 600 field operatives. I want to hear a new story.
Okay. Well, there's some...
Dad, you're 80 years old. You can tell me a different story.
There's some I won't tell you, okay?
Oh.
Dad, I want you to go ahead and tell the story I've heard like 50 times. I want you to tell me one new story tonight. Can you tell me one new story?
Well, I'll tell you one new story tonight, but she can't be here listening. Okay?
I'll go take a walk.
No, I'm just saying, you can't let 600 field operatives and do all the stuff you've done and not have more stories.
Well, I do, but I don't share some of them. Okay?
I know you don't, Dad, but guess what? At some point, you got to, because...
Well, that's okay.
I'll protect those stories.
Well, that's okay, but I'll tell you a half a story, and then give me a glass of wine or something to keep me from not lying again, okay?
Uh-oh.
In that case, all right, I'll take you up on that offer.
Well... My glass is empty.
Yeah. All right, tell
I don't even have a glass.
So you got a new story?
Well, yes I do, but yes I don't.
So you're just saying, I'm going to fucking make up a story to get a glass of drink.
No.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to make a compromise with you. I'm going to trust that you're going to tell me something new.
I'll tell you
on one condition. You tell the chief of police Tripoli story while I get you a drink. I'll get you a drink while you tell it.
And then I'll tell her the story of my adventures on the Nile River.
That would be cool.
Yeah, you see, you've never heard the Nile River stories, have you?
I think that'd be cool.
Well, that's
to go
okay.
To the Nile River.
I got a couple of things yet that you don't know about, okay? I told you most everything.
I know you fell back. So here's, because I've met somebody in the news knows who you are, and they told me your dad hasn't told you everything.
Dads don't tell you everything.
He says, hey, I will, let's go there later. First, I want you to tell her the chief of police of Tripoli story. Will you please do that?
As soon as I get a drink.
I'm going to get you a drink. You start the story, because I don't think she believes it's true. Because I've told her a little bit of it. I'll get you the drink. You start.
Okay.
Would you like wine? You want water? Water?
Water. Just don't give me any urine.
All right, you start. I got you covered, Mr.
No, a little scotch would be fine.
No, well, anyway. A really good cognac. And then
so, the most interesting part was what I didn't know. The Vietnam War was raging.
Mm-hmm.
The draft was on, right?
Uh-huh.
And I was 21 years old, okay? I had no knowledge, no anything about the draft, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, when I applied to the CIA, and to set a little something in perspective, okay? You know, the CIA was desperate to hire technical people. So I went to Western Washington, and out of, I don't know, 14 or 16,000 students, there was only three of us that got degrees in physics, okay? Oh. And then they had one chemist, and
Dad, I gotta give you some a little just on the story side. Let's fast forward to when you ended up in Tripoli.
That's where,
because you were telling you, because we were hearing about the Western Washington's part of the story. You got to start, like, fast forward to when you fly, you know, you're all of a sudden arrive at the chief of police of Tripoli, Lebanon.
Okay, well, anyway, now we switch to 2 years later.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, I've got a drink for you, but you were good with wine, okay. I'm going to get you something you're going to really enjoy, so go ahead and start.
But anyway, you've heard, I'm sure you've heard the word Mogadishu.
Mm-mm.
Black Hawk Down
capital
movie.
Of Somalia.
Oh,
where Black Hawk Down,
yes,
occurred.
I have.
And all that. Okay. Yep. Well, I've been there six times, and the CIA had a safe house on the ocean, so we could fly into Mogadishu. And then, you know, we had a week off or 3 days. We could stay there, okay? So I did that six times. And
you ever seen the movie Black Hawk Down?
So I traveled all over.
To where the two helicopters went down the middle of the city. And
North Africa, Uganda, Idi Amin. Been to all those places, okay? So I'm in Tripoli, and the CIA had a undercover agent. He was a time reporter, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, did you forget my glass?
No, I got, oh, Dad, I got something else for you.
So,
think way better.
Anyway, so the in the east, you have.
You're gonna like this. Take a sip of that.
Okay, kind of.
Take a sip, just so you know I got you covered. Okay. You're gonna like that. You like that flavor? Nice.
Very nice.
Okay, keep going.
So anyway,
I get you another one in a minute. Quickie one.
Well, I want, but you need to understand that in communities they have transformers.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It sips down high voltage to 110. So the Time newspaper guy, who was a very deep undercover CIA operative. So I fly in. I'm supposed to bug the chief of police's house.
Tripoli, Lebanon. This is Gaddafi, probably.
Oh,
this is
Gaddafi, gosh. Okay. Oh, my gosh.
So I said, well, you know, hey, just one more job, right? So I fly in, and the Time newspaper guy that was our undercover agent had hooked up the Libyan chief of police with the hooker.
Oh.
Okay, I mean, it's a sex thing, okay? Mm-hmm. So, and I'm over at his house, and so the chief of police is supposed to go out with this hooker and have a night of, what do I call it? I don't know, a civilized word. Anyway, he's supposed to go out and have some hot sex, okay? So, the chief of police goes out. And he's got his security detail, right? Mm-hmm. And they got this lady, okay? Chris, I'm searching for vocabulary right now. So anyway, they're heading into town. So the Time magazine guy and I, we sneak in through the sliding doors into his, what do they call them? Living rooms, family rooms, whatever.
House, right? Whatever, yeah.
So, my job is to bug the house. So, we pull the couch away from the wall. And you know those wall plugs you use all the time?
Oh, yeah.
They're called a duplex plug, okay? So I'm taking them all out, and I'm putting in
new and improved ones.
New and improved ones that have a microphone and an FM transmitter. So, you know, to me, it's just, you know, another job, right?
Right.
And I've been doing it for 2 years. Jeez. So we pull the couch.
Just happens to be the chief police Tripoli. What else has he done?
And I'm taking the wall. You know, for expediency, I take the, you know, the little plastic covers off, and then I would go in and disconnect the wires. And then I would take my special FM microphone, and I'm screwing them back in, right? And then there's a screech of tires. And all I hear is a lot of noise, right?
Uh-oh.
So it turned out that the, this is a chief of police of all Libya, right?
Mm.
That a bunch of cussing and swearing, and I don't understand the Arabic, whatever. So our, contact, he says, he grabbed her inappropriate, and she slugged him, and he kicked her out of the Jeep, so now we got him back with all the security. So now, there's a wall here, okay, couch here. So he says, we got to push the couch back. all my boxes and cases of electronics. We slid them under the couch.
Oh my gosh.
And the head of the chief of police, the security, comes in. And he sees his neighbor there and he says, oh, hi, what are you doing here? In Arabic, which I don't understand. And our agent says, well, I gave you my last case of scotch.
How do you know he said this?
Well, he spoke in English, you know. So he says, my buddy just came in and he's a post office inspector. And so we're over here raiding your liquor cabinet.
Oh, my gosh.
And the head of security, chief of police, whatever, he says, well, let's have another drink. So there's a, you know how you have a bar. So our agent, he brings the chief of police over to a chair, and then he sits down, and I'm sitting at the end. So this time guy was, oh man, he was, anyway. So he is sharing jokes.
He was cool cat.
Half in English, half in Arabic.
Oh no.
And so he fixes me, I'm sure you don't know what a MiG-15 is. Mm-mm. It's half scotch and half drambuie.
Oh.
Drambuie is a scotch-based liqueur.
Yep, I know.
So I get a glass bigger than this. And so he and our agent, and so they're sitting down there and having drinks, right? Well, so I try to have a drink. It's a glass like this, right, with a lot of ice. And my hand was, I couldn't have a drink. My hand was shaking too bad. Anyway, we got the guy totally intoxicated, not me, our undercover agent did. Then we took him off the bar stool, took him down, and we laid him on the couch. Then we pulled the couch back.
Oh my gosh.
And he says, now you can finish your job. So a couple hours later, the house is totally bugged.
Wow.
He would never know about it, and wow, we walked out the back door. And I thought to myself, I was one step away. If he had...
But did his bodyguards have Uzis and all that stuff?
Oh, the bodyguards were all over the place. But they, when the boss is in the office having drinks, the bodyguards, they kind of melt away, okay? And, you know, I've thought about that now 40 years later. And I say, when... It's real funny, right? I spent, instead of the Army, I spent 3 years with the CIA, okay? I traveled 20-some different countries, right? And then I see the, the VA, the veterans coming back. And, you know, when you're in the private sector, okay, you get no military benefits, okay? Zero. And my dad came out a couple of years later and told me that when you're in the military, his mind, that means CIA, that...
they're in charge of you. Donna, what did he say?
You're just a tool. You're just
a pawn.
You get
That's right.
00.
Yeah, you're a tool.
Yep. So I sit back and I ask myself today, you know, I could have put 3 years in the Army. Mm-hmm. And
but when you were in a different situation. You weren't a tool. You were a tool, but you were a higher level tool.
Yeah, but, you know, as a, it's really interesting. I didn't realize this till many years later. When you go to a university, mm-hmm. now, the human resources know this, but if you go to a university and out of 30,000 people, mm-hmm. you get a degree in physics or chemistry or something, against 40,000, there's only, the university only graduates less than 10 a year, okay? Jeez. That...
there's something significant about this?
Yeah, very significant.
Yeah, the point is that there's some pretty significant things that have occurred, huh?
No, they couldn't find people to do the job. So to get the job, I had to take a federal engineering equivalency test, which I aced, okay? And so I sit down there. The point is, there are... I've always wondered this. This is a serious intellectual
question. What have you wondered?
Pardon?
What have you wondered? I'm very curious. When you say you've always wondered this, I'm very curious
to hear.
Well,
I got hired as a GS-9.
Yeah.
And a year later, I was a GS-11.
Mm-hmm.
And those ranks are...
I can explain what they mean, but go ahead.
Because I don't know.
Okay? No, what they are is they're ways that Microsoft has this, okay? You know it, right? Mm-hmm. Does it sound familiar, right? What are the different levels of Microsoft? They go G, 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 G. They're Gs, are they not?
No, they're numbers.
They're numbers. So you once told me GE does a really fabulous job managing its talent, right? And it's correct what you say.
No, so, I think my rating was...
No, it's not about your rating. The point is that you told me, which I've never forgotten, is that GE does it. They intentionally manage their talent, right? You were on a pathway because they were managing your talent. No. The point is not where your path was. My understanding of how GE, and then I've come to research, you know, how Larry Bossidy ran his company and how he decided, like, we're going to find the most strongest talent and we're going to plan their career for them. Because like 40 years ago, you know, you didn't spend 2 to 3 years at a company. You spent 7 to 10. And so the whole theory of Larry Bossidy at GE and his whole management style and how he was going to make sure his GE as a company succeeded was he was going to manage talent. He was going to find the talent and bring them up through the organization to be the leaders. And it's a great philosophy. Yeah, it really is. It's really great philosophy until disruption comes in and there's other tempting offers, right? Because every organization needs the people to lead it, right?
That's right. And I can tell you that...
And the greatest companies figured this out, right? And GE and Larry Bossidy did it. And I remember you used to tell me about your experience as being a employee at GE and how the system worked, right? So now later on, as I grow my career, and I'm talking to some pretty fucking crazy people that know lots of people, know a lot of people, and then they have a different, it's a very enlightening perspective. But at the end of the day, it's all founded on the right idea of how do you motivate, how do you incent, and how do you extract the value of the workforce, right? You know?
No, I understand that. I was 28 years old.
Yeah.
And project superintendent on the last GE turnkey nuclear power plant, okay? And unbeknownst to me, because I didn't understand, this corporate world.
Yeah, and you were just a guy who got it done.
Yep. And I mean, I can tell you what, at 28 years old, running a turnkey nuclear power plant with corporately no hands on, okay? Mm-hmm.
Did you ever talk to the CIA back then?
Oh, they kept track on me for years.
Yeah, so the point I'm trying to say is you're building nuke plants in Germany and India. Yeah. What people told me is, like, your dad may have not known it, but he still was working for the CIA, meaning that they knew you were in. Look, in your professional career, post three years in the CIA, you're building nuke plants in India, in Germany. They knew they had a guy that was pretty close to the situation. Don't you agree?
Well, yeah, I agree. And I'll tell you something.
You may not know it, but they were looking, they knew. I've had other people say, your dad may have not known it.
Oh, but they contacted me in India and kept tabs on me. But anyway.
Wow. So there's a lot more to it, right? You never tell that part. I'm just always curious. Dad, I just want to know. I want to be able to, you know, I want your legacy to survive.
Just make sure none of your sons ever work for the federal government. No CIA, no FBI, because I could have switched to the FBI, and nope, you keep your kids close to home, okay, and make sure that they get careers that keeps them close to home.
So, let me get back to the chief of police. You never finished the story. So you're sitting there, you got the guy drunk.
Yeah.
He said finish the job. You're right. He did tell
me. We had to pull the chair away.
No, you finished the story. I was just saying, I was wondering if there's more to the story.
Yeah, well, the more to the story would have been I wouldn't be your father, okay? No, I got to tell you what, people don't realize. Now, during my 3 years, and I was I hate to say this, I was a bugger debugger.
Oh.
And nobody knows what that means. But I met between Middle East and Africa, I met over probably 600 undercover CIA agents.
Oh my gosh.
Okay? And I would go into a family's home with all whatever I had, magnetometers, I had this, anyway, to make their home, to tell them their homes were secure, okay? And I have to tell you, there were many. So I just went in, scanned the walls, did all the electronic stuff right. And the mom would come out and say, are we really secure and protected?
You mean the mom? But the mom, I don't get it.
Pardon?
So these are family's houses that you were just...
Yeah, family houses, the mother of the agent, whatever. And I'd say, well, we've done this, we've done that, and all our technology that we could do, right? And during that 3 year period, I met on an order of 600 deep agents, okay? And they had no diplomatic immunity. They could be magazines, they could be whatever, right? So one of the jobs, my primary job was, I would go overseas, is to check out the resident, okay? To make everything this clear, okay? Oh, Christ, I'm 23 years old. How stupid do you think? Anyway, I meant deep cover officers and their wives and families and kids. And I'll tell you what, when you are meeting a family undercover, and they got little children running around, and you're trying to make sure that their house hasn't been compromised, and you do that, okay? From my standpoint, there's a degree of satisfaction. So I'm in Iraq at the consular service. And so we're in a night, me and Phil Rush, and we're going over the wall with the magnetic detectors, right? So we pick up a signal, and then we dig into the wall. And we, there's a hidden microphone here, right? So we go into a, what they call a non-alerting zone, where no talk, no, we want to make sure that if this is a penetration, audio penetration, into the ambassador's office, that we keep it undercover.
This is in where? In Iraq?
This is in Iraq. Right?
Okay, got it. Okay.
So anyway, the purpose is, if you find that you have been, God, I hate it, if you've been bugged, and I can find it, and you don't know about it, then we can feed disinformation back to the LP listening post, right?
Yeah.
So I, so once we found it, okay, in the ambassador's office, and there's wires in the wall.
This is the one with the, you're talking about the emblem.
Pardon?
In Russia, the emblem. Keep going. I'll remind you.
But anyway, so
there was an emblem in the Russian consulate.
No, that was the great city of the United States. But anyway, so I'm ranking the. I was not very polite as a young. So we found the wires, and I'm ripping them out of the wall. And the plaster's all coming down.
Wow.
So we traced the listening post down to a closet in the ambassador's office, right? So in the meantime, man, I'm half, so pissed. I'm destroying this office. Well, with a claw hammer, I'm making So, anyway, in the morning he comes in, and I said, why didn't you tell us you had your office bugged? He says, I didn't think you'd ever find it.
Oh, shoot.
And I says, well, we found them all.
Uh-oh.
And everything's a wreck. And he says, well, we will be sure that you are discharged from the security. And I says, oh, blow your horn, buddy. Because I got everything on tape, I got pictures and everything else. And then, so, you know, this is why, you know, I look at the political situation. Why would if you were an ambassador and I came in and said, well, I want a survey, would you hide from me all the secret microphones you had hidden?
No.
No, you would like to do that, but the stupidest thing is, if you do it and I find them, I'm going to wreck everything, okay? And no, I'll tell you what, my biggest problem in my entire career was being outspoken. And
give an example.
I would speak what I knew, and I always did, and it's a fault of mine, okay?
Give an example of what happened.
You want an example of that?
Yeah.
General Electric.
This is in your commercial career. I'm talking about when you're in the CIA.
Oh, in the CIA.
I'd like to hear both, by the way.
You don't in the CIA ever bring vocal accord, okay?
What do you mean?
No, I'll tell you, it's very simple, okay? John McCord was the head of the CIA, okay, in the 60s, okay? When Gary Powers got shot down, I've told you this before, when he got shot down, all he was a jet jockey, steered the airplane, right? And they blasted him out of the skies, and then they exchanged him for Colonel Abel. And I joined the CIA in October. And anyway, they made the swap for Colonel Abel. So John McCone, we had a how do I say a big safe house and have it mean anything to you two?
I don't know. Why don't you try?
Well, anyway, so I'm there being trained. And Gary Powers is released, and he comes in.
You know, Bridge of Spies? When Gary Powers,
the guy who shot... Have you seen the Bridge of Spies?
Movie? With Dom Hanks?
You need to see that with...
The guy who got shot down over in the U2 spy plane. It was 12 years in Russia, and then he was released.
I might have seen pieces.
It's so basically Gary Powers, we were flying spy planes over Russia and they sent an ICBM
for 5 years.
They sent an intercontinental ballistic missile that shot him down that blew his thing out. And so when he landed, he was in prison for 12 years. And the movie with Tom Hanks is called Bridge of Spies, is about the lawyer who negotiated his release. Because he was in prison for 12 years. The story that I've heard a little bit of is like, so when they released him out of being in jail, the CIA was there, right? Mm-hmm. And there was internal security for his debriefing. Mm-hmm. And so, internal security.
They were going to exchange Gary Powers for Colonel Abel. Now, Colonel Abel runs
the
spy operation in the United States. Okay? Now, some of this is very interesting, okay? So the stupidest, it's like Obama exchanged the 5 terrorists to get Dahlberg back, who was a deserter, okay? So go backwards 40 years, and the United States exchange Colonel Abel for Gary Powers, okay? And the sad thing about that is Colonel Abel had total control over the entire Soviet Union spy operation in the United States. Okay? Was it a good exchange? Well, the history will bear out the facts, okay? Mm-hmm. But when Gary Powers got released, I was just a new recruit at the CIA at the time. So we had a training house in Maryland, okay? A big old farmhouse. And that's where this CIA, including me, the Navy, Army, CIC, and so on, we would compete against each other, okay?
Oh, wow.
So anyway, Gary Powers gets released, and he's, I gotta tell you, he couldn't part that we couldn't listen to, okay? I mean, we put, as practice, we would take inflatable golf balls, put them in a half-inch pipe, and we would shoot golf balls up all over the place so we could put microphones in, okay? And my specialty was I would take 2x4 wall studs and make a saw mark and then put a new wall. And the place was bug beyond anything you can imagine, okay?
I never heard this one.
So when they brought Gary Powers home, two things. They brought him to our Maryland safe house, right? Mm. And it was just a great big farmhouse, okay, with lots of room and so on. So, then I was only in Office of Security for a couple of months, okay? So, I'm too junior to know what's going on, okay? So, you know, they brought him in and they, of course, I lived there for a couple of months. And food, whatever. It's a great place to stay, okay? Anyway, so Gary, all he wanted was sex. Now his wife's there. Wait a minute. See, when I say that, you should never turn, that's the world, okay? Mm-hmm. And so they were, when they were debriefing him, because I was so junior, I wasn't allowed to listen into the voice communications. Hmm. Yeah, it didn't really bother me a whole lot. But our U.S. government and the rules and the regulations, okay, are way out in left field, okay? And I can tell you that you will never get the truth, you know, out of the U.S. government. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have policies and procedures, and they will tell you the truth that they believe in, and I'm sitting back there and saying, you know, go away, okay? And and say that this sexual harassment thing that's going on, mm-hmm. it's not going to stop.
Probably not.
The U.S. government policies, hidden money,
I know.
And everything else. They don't follow the laws of the land, okay?
What do you mean by that?
Pardon?
What do you mean?
What do I mean?
But follow the laws of the land.
Well, Congress does not have none of the laws on the books apply to Congress, okay?
No.
Oh, wow.
Come back. I got, so have a seat. You should sit, and I got a surprise. Yeah. I do. I got a really good surprise. Okay. Yep. It's sort of a bit of a dessert. Okay. But this is, you still haven't told the full, well, you sort of did tell the story about it.
I'm tired.
Yeah, I know. Have a seat. I'm going to get you something you're going to really love.
Okay.
Give me a sec, can you?
It's a dessert. Yeah, of course, yes. Okay.
Yeah, so. All right, I'm going to get my music going a little bit.
Well, anyway, do you have to go down and check on your daughter in the morning?
That might be her, yeah. I'm going to go down and check on her and come back.
Phone call would probably work.
You think so?
You should see what...
No, I will tell you why I think...